And sorry for the late Marmocomos, but you were able to get them out?
Yes. Yes.
Guess the advantage of digital, right?
Right. I don't have to print them and hand them out. That's correct.
So what you're saying is I can be encouraged to bring them
No. We don't learn from that. We definitely don't see that in there.
Okay, we won't do that for low plug purposes because we're still optimistic about a short return.
Yemir Sashem.
Yeah. Okay. So let's begin. So we had been talking about Mumar, a very fascinating topic. We're going to move on because we don't have so many more. So let's try to get on to a couple of different topics. The first paragraph of Chulin is filled with really, very rich range of topics. So now we'll talk a little bit about something else. So let's begin tonight with just to review a little bit the bottom of Hey Amud Beis. As we move on to Vav Amud Aleph. So the Gemara here in Hey Amud Beis, this is a Gemara that we discussed already, speaks about Kuti. I'm not interested in revisiting Kuti at the moment, but I am interested in a side topic which introduces the next couple of Dapim, and that is the issue of Takala. So the Gemara says here on Hey Amud Beis, if you look at the, it's almost midpoint through the Amud on Hey Amud Beis. Okay, everybody have that? So the Gemara says the following. Hey, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yoshua ben Zaruz, ben Chamiv, shor Rabbi Meir, lefnei Rabbi, or Rabbi Meir, I'm reading the wrong thing. We'll get to that. Hey Amud Beis. Actually, we will get to it tonight. Also in the middle. Omrab Chanan, Omer Rabbi Yaakov, bar Idi, Omer Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi, Mishim bar Kapara, Rabbi Gamliel, Beis Dino, Nimnu al shchitas kuti yasrua. So this is something we discussed already. I say I'm interested in it from a different angle tonight. The Rabbi Gamliel and their Bezdin got together and they agreed that henceforth, that going forward into the future, shchitas kuti is going to be prohibited. Again, this is all connected to the large topic that we did discuss, and that is whether kuti is treated as a sincere ger. I mean, the people, the community of the Kutim, are they sincere gerim, right? Or maybe they were sincere, albeit they had an ulterior motive, but now, they've kind of never integrated into the Jewish community, right? They behaved in a manner which was inconsistent with Jewish law, particularly their relationship to Torah Shebaal Peh, as well as to their fellow Jews, Lefnei Velositei Mechshal. Very fascinating profile of the Kutim. The Kutim were before the Tzedukim and before the Karaim, right? They were a bad paradigm. And this whole Gemara here, starting from Hey Amud Beis through Vav Amud Aleph, which we extensively discussed, is about the effort to roll back the Jewish character of the Kutim. Now, again, whether that's Doraisa, Derabanan, something in between, those are the issues that we previously discussed. But for now, let's just go through this beginning story. The Gemara tells originally that Shchitas Kuti was now prohibited. Again, because a Kuti's a goy, or because of an Iser Gavra, are they saying he's Jewish, but no, we're going to treat him as a goy, and therefore you can't eat his Shchita. That's very important for our topic. We'll get back to that in a minute. So the Gemara says, "Amalei Rabbi Zeira l'Rabbi Yaakov bar Idi, Shema lo Shema Rebbe el b'shein Yisrael amid al gaba." So originally he was credulous. These were accepted into Jewish people. What do you mean? All of a sudden we're not going to eat their shechita? Maybe all he really means is that we can't rely on them, we can't trust them, and therefore we can't give them a blank namanus, a blanket namanus. But if there was Yisrael Lomid al-Gabav, if someone is supervising a kuti to see that he shechted kadas to kadin, that would be a different story completely. So the Gemara says, Amalei, Domi haim rabbanan kidlo gmiri inshi shmaitza. He was dismissive of this suggestion. namely that he misunderstood or that he'd got it all wrong, and the intent was not really to prohibit Shchitas Kuti, because B'she'en Yisrael lo omed al gabav l'mem rabbi, he said, listen, I don't need, you know, authoritative rabbis, you know, to tell us, you know, what we already know, and that is that there's no nemanos, that you can't rely on them. After all, they didn't believe in the Lifnei Yiftar L'Sitei Nichshol, but of course they were untrustworthy, and at minimum they required Gadol Omed Al Gabav. So obviously what I actually heard, which is what I reported, was that a giant step beyond that had been taken, namely literally to prohibit, you know, the Shechita Vakuti, to turn it into the equivalent of Nevela. That's really what it must be. So he was dismissive of the attempt to kind of moderate or to temper, you know, what would have been a big chiddush. Say, I didn't mean that. Okay. So then the Gemara says, okay, good. So then the Gemara says, boy, kibla mine, olo kibla mine. Did he accept this psak that was reported in the name of Rabban Gamliel and Beis Dino? Namely, that the Shechita Vakuti is disqualified, and that henceforth, legally, halachically, be consumed. Was that a psak that was accepted, right, or that was rejected? Okay, so the Gemara says, Toshma, Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchak, Amar Rav Asi, Ani Ra'isi, Es Rabbi Yochanan, She'achal Mishchitas Kuti, Ve'af Rav Asi Achal Mishchitas Kuti. You know, it's like a typical thing back in the olden days when we used to have shuls and, you know, simchas, and, you know, what do the Jews talk about? You know, they get together. They say, like, what, does he hold that way? But I saw him eating this, and he ate Chol of Yisrael, and he put it down, and he passed over the other one. So this is exactly what's, you know, things haven't changed all that much. That's exactly what was going on in the Gemara. They're wondering, did he accept this psak or not? So they said, well, I saw this one eating Shechitas Kuti, and then the other one went into that other hamburger place, you know, which is serviced by a Kuti. So there's evidence that Shechitas Kuti is being consumed by significant Rabbanim. That's the anecdotal evidence, right? So then the Gemara says, Tehiba Rabzeira. So he says, yeah, this is exactly, he's a little astonished by that. Not what I expected to see. And the question was, Lo Shmielahu, the Iyava Shmielahu, Ava Mekablila. He didn't hear this psak, didn't follow it. But surely if he had heard that, the Gedolim, you know, put their imprimatur on this psak, that they felt this way, then of course he would have refrained from eating the Shechitas Kuti. Odilma Shmielahu, or is it possible that he was aware of this psak, right, velo kiblua, but he simply disagreed as a matter of conscience. He was also a big Talmud Chacham, big psak authority, and he disagreed. He didn't accept that psak. Which was it? Says the Gemara, Mistabra d'shmielahu velo kiblua. The likely scenario, listen to this, this is the way, you know, this is the way we talk, right? He says that the likely reality was, in reconstructing, is that he was aware of this psak, but that as a matter of principle, he rejected it. Why? The sokadai techlo shmielahu, the iav shmielahu have lemekabli la, hechem istayim milsa lemechal isura, hash de behemten shal tzadikim, ena kadosh baruch hu maybe takal al yadan. Like Kol Shekein. So this is a very famous Gemara. We'll read the story in just a minute. Gemara tells a story about the chamor of Pinchas ben Yair, and how he was the chamor was divinely inspired not to eat macholos asuros. So the point is, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Ein Mevi Takala Al Yadon Shal Behentan Shal Tzadikim, then Tzadikim Atzman Lekolshiga, meaning that if he had heard this psak, if he had not heard the psak, right, but had he heard it, he would have followed it, then somehow the Hashgacha would have intervened to protect him, right? The Siyata Dishmaya would have protected his interests, right? If, on the other hand, as a matter of principle, meaning he's investigated the matter and he doesn't accept this psak, that's a different story entirely. Okay. Notice that it's a very interesting thing. We'll get to it a little bit in the end, that there's a kind of a fascinating meta-halachic, methodological, here. And that is, the Gemara is not discussing whether this psak is correct or not. As you would think that they would have said, well, the fact that this tzaddik, ate, from the shkita of Akutim, doesn't just prove that he, in principle, thought it was okay. Why didn't it also prove, right, that the psak of Rabbi Gamliel of Beis Din was wrong? I mean, is the issue whether or not this fellow is doing what he would always want to do, or is the issue whether he's eating something which is objectively mutar aser? Everybody following me? So that, I'll get back to that point in just a minute anyway, a little bit more so. But now again, the fact that the Gemara doesn't zero in on that, and the Rishonim don't zero in on that, may prove one of two things. Something about this idea of takala, which I'm going to get back to in a few minutes, or maybe that the decision to against the shechita of Akuti was a decision that was actually objectively given to the chachamim of that door to decide. In other words, if you take the view, let me say clearly, if you take the view, which sounds like a little bit in the beginning of the Gemara, which is that this is a policy question, about the Kutim and banning Shechita, but not necessarily connected to, in one more Amud, what becomes a much more forceful formulation, Asahum Kigayim L'chol Advarim, and which some Rishonim really think means that they established that the Kutim were not Jewish anymore, or lost their Kedushas Yisrael, or mostly lost their Kedushas Yisrael. If you think it's about Adin Drabanan establishing Midrabanan that their food is Nevela, then it makes a lot of sense to say that there is no objective Kame Shmaya Galya, issue of Takala or Siyah, because that's a policy decision that the Chachamim certainly make. But if you think that even in the beginning of the Sugya, what we're talking about is the assessment of Asom Kegayim L'chol Advarim, as it is in the end of the Gemara, then the idea that we would assess Takala, by whether the Talmud Chacham is following the policy that he believed, as opposed to whether Kame Shmaya Galya, right, in the eyes of the Rabbonu Shalom, is the policy, that becomes a fascinating question. Either a question about Takala, which I say I will show you another example of that in just a few minutes, or even this aspect was dependent upon the wisdom of the Chachamim and their license. In other words, if we're right at everything that we said, this goes back, about a month or so, when we talked about Kuti. So one of the things I was trying to show was that, in a way, it was the call of the Chachamim, because this was a community that was accepted in problematic circumstances. Their behavior from day one was problematic, although it passed over, the qualifying line that they were part of the Jewish community. But apparently the Chachamim had the right to determine at some point that they were too acculturated, that they, didn't qualify anymore, for this kind of tentative Kedushas Yisrael. But if that's the case, if that's a decision Chachamim make, not just an analysis that reflects objectively whether this is the case, then we can understand our Gemara. Is everybody with me? Yeah? Hopefully? Okay. So this is a, all I'm saying is this, it looks like we have like a relatively minor question here, the question of what constitutes in a Kodesh Baruch Hu, maybe Takal al Yadam, but it is both fascinating on one hand, and also it highlights certain things in the way, as we shall see, and this is the first of it. Namely, is the question whether the Chacham is doing, you know, what he's following a policy with his eyes wide open? Is that the question that dictates Takala? Or is the question objectively, in the eyes of the Ribbono Shel Olam, what is and what is not the right thing? Okay, that's question number one. Question number two, when it comes to Kuti and Shechita, is that a question that the Chachamim get to decide, or even Kuti Hareim Ki Yisraelim, the Chachamim decide that, or they only get to analyze and to project what really is Kami Shemaya Galio, what the Ribbono Shel Olam wants? Okay, good. Anyway, this is the Shaka Vitari of the Gemara. So this idea of Ena Kadosh Baruch Hu Mevi Takala Al Yadam, you know, in addition to everything else I just said, is a very fascinating concept. This idea that there's a special Siyata Dishmaya or a special Hashkacha which protects Tzadikim, right, from unwittingly, like I was just discussing a second ago, and what about making a mistake, you know, based on conviction? Is that included in that? That's what we're talking about a second. Or is it not a mistake? Right? But either way, what we're talking about, the classic case of Ena Kadosh Baruch Hu Mevi Takala Yadam, means he doesn't have some information, and as a result, he is prone, right, to, he is vulnerable, you know, to making a mistake, and that there's this idea of hashkacha for a tzaddik, right, to safeguard him from that. It's a fascinating concept. We're trying to examine the parameters of it, but either way, on any level, it's a fascinating concept. So, of course, the question is, I mean, even tzaddikim make mistakes, right? All human beings are fallible. So how far does this extend? When do we apply this? When do we assume, you know, things based on Ena Kodesh Baruch Hu Mevi Takala Al Yadam, if people have free will and they're also fallible, right? How far does this extend? So this is a question that bothered the Rishonim. I was going to spend a little bit of time talking about Tosas, the Netziv, and the Ramban in just a minute. And again, I think it's has interesting implications. I don't know about repercussions, but definitely implications. Okay, so let's look at the two other Gemaras quickly here in our sugya about Ena Kadosh Baruch Hu Mevi Takala Yadam to see what else we can glean from it. Okay, so the first case is the case of Shechitas Kuti, right? If he wouldn't unwittingly, without knowing each Shechitas Kuti, had it been that he would have agreed not to, had he known, that constitutes Takala Yadam. Okay, that's one. Now, if you look on Vav Amud Aleph in the middle, we'll get back to Tosas in a couple of minutes. I just want to get the Gemaras in first. So here you have the second example of it. Here on Vav Amud Aleph in the middle, the Gemara tells the following story. Rabbi Zeira, Viravasi, this is a little bit down. I would say it's 3/5 down the page, maybe. So it's Rabbi Zeira Viravasi, Ikluhu Lipundiki. Everybody, Lipundika, everybody see that? Zeira traveling. And they spent, you know, they entered into a hotel or a motel or whatever it was, Airbnb, I don't know what it was, the Yai, in the city called the Yai, right? And Aisul Kamayu, Beitzim, Hamatsumakos, the Yayin. the innkeeper or somebody brought them food, like some delicacy, I guess, and it was that was cooked with wine. Okay. So the Gemara says that Rab Zeira lo achal. Rab Zeira did not eat it. He refrained from eating it. And Rav Asi achal. Rav Asi, you know, enthusiastically ate this concoction. Says the Gemara, Amalei Rab Zeira lo Rav Asi. So Rab Zeira, who refused to eat it, turned to Rav Asi. And he said to him, V'lo chai shmar l'taroves tamai. Aren't you worried about the fact that there's tarovas d'mai? What is tarovas d'mai? So d'mai, which we can analyze a little more fully, of course, is when you have, we'll see soon, they made a takana, Chachamim made a takana, Rabbi Yochanan, Kohen Gadol made a takana. If you look here, actually, on, you'll see the takana very briefly, the Gemara in Sota and Daf Ches Omid Aleph, page 3. Gemara says, Hatanya afu bitala savidui, the gozar alan d'mai. The Gemara says, Afisha shalach b'chol gvul Yisrael is on page 3, the new Mar Mekomos. They sent out, they were doing a poll, I guess, to all of gvul Yisrael. They took a poll and they realized that people were, I mean, the Ame Aretz were only being mafrish truma gedola. They weren't doing anything more. So the Gemara says, "Umaitzer rishon umaitzer sheni," right? Miktsasan maasron, miktsasan ein maasron. Maitzer rishon, which goes to the Levium. And Maaser Sheni, which is supposed to typically be eaten, you know, B'Kedusha and Yerushalayim. These were, half of the population or part of the population were ignoring them. So Amalahem, so he said to them, Banai, Bo, the Omar Lachem, Kishem Shetruma Gedola, Yesh Ba'avan Misa, he said to me, you're being makbid on Truma Gedola because, If you don't, you know, if you eat tevel, you chayv misa, yidei shemayim. So kach trumas meiser, the tevel yesh ben avon misa. So you should know that's not only truma gedola, it's also the tevel of trumas meiser. Trumas meiser is the amount that the levi take off of meiser rishon that also goes to the kohen. So it's also kind of a truma. Called Trumas Meiser. So Amad v'tiki hitkin lahem, for their own good, he made a takana that alokeach peros me'ama aretz, anybody who acquires peros that require Trumas Meiseris from an ama aretz, mafrish bahen Meiser Rishon and Meiser Sheni, he should separate Meiser Rishon, he should separate Meiser Sheni, Meiser Rishon mafrish b'menu Trumas Meiser v'noso l'kohen, from the Meiser Rishon he takes off. That's a tenth. Then he takes a tenth of the tenth, which is a hundredth, and that is what would have been Meiser, Trumas Meiser to the Kohen. So the now we take that off and we give it straight to the Kohen, Misafek. As for Meiser Sheni, Olav Yochla B'Yerushalayim, that part you take to Yerushalayim, a Meiser Rishon, a Meiser Ani, the Meiser Rishon, the rest of it, and Meiser Ani, which is every third, 3 years, instead of Meiser Sheni, you have Meiser Ani, Hamotzi Mechaver Olavarai, since they weren't sure that they weren't being mafrish, and the only consequences are Dine Maminis, the Meiser Ani and Meiser Rishon don't have intrinsic Kedusha Bechefza, just that they belong to Aniim and they belong to the Levium. So there we apply the principle of Motzi Mechaver Olavarai, and that's what he did. So that is the Takana of Dmai. The Mishnah, Mishnayis Masechet Dmai, focuses on these dinim, meaning the chashash that Ami Aretz are not mafrish, and the requirement of a hafrashas Dmai. That's the background. Anyway, so the Gemara says the following: So the Gemara says that they went into this inn, in this concoction, Eitzim and Yayin, and that Rav Zeira refused to eat it. He turned to Rav Asi, and he said to Demai, he said, how could you eat that stuff? It's Taroves Demai, meaning the, what's the Demai Yayin? Yayin is subject to Trumas and Maestros. The innkeeper is an Ama Aretz. You Tevel. So since we're not sure if it's Tevel or Chulin, right, we treat it as Demai, meaning you have to, you're obligated to be Mafresh, otherwise you can't eat it. Now it is Misarev, because it was mixed into the eggs, so it's Tarovas Demai. He says, how can you eat Tarovas Demai? So the Gemara says, Amale Lava Datoy. He said, whoops, I didn't know that there was a problem of Tarovas Demai. Amar Rav Zeira, Efshar Gazru Al Tarovas Demai, Umistayim Ilsad Rav Asi Mechal Isura. Is it possible that there really is, that included in the Isra of Demai, Tarovas Demai? And yet, Rav Asi would not be aware of it, would be misled, would be prone or vulnerable, right, to eating something which is Asur. After all, how can that be? Just like we said about the shechita of the kuti, right? Except frankly, this is both better and worse, right? It's worse than the shechita of kuti if shechita of kuti was just a policy decision, because this is demai, which is already a gzera that exists. It might be better. I'm sorry. Might be because demai is certainly only obligatory midrabanan, and may even be a miut, as we'll see. Whereas shkitas kuti, maybe it really is that they lost their kedushas Yisrael, in which case it's real. So, this second case of ena kadosh baruch hu maybe is the Taroves Demai. And then the Gemara goes on to say, we're going to get back to this, Nafak Rav Zeira Dok V'Yashkach. So then Rav Zeira, he did a, meaning he was so, it's such a fascinating Gemara. He was, Rav Zeira himself didn't eat the stuff. But he was so impressed that Rav Asi was not protected that he launched an investigation to see, maybe he was wrong. Maybe there is no Gzeira of Taroves Demai, maybe only Demai itself, Osir. So the Gemara says, he went and he examined the Mishnah, he looked over it again, and he could just see how this is happening. He had a certain assumption. His world was rocked, you know, by the fact that there was no Siyata Dishmaya to, you know, Rav Asi. So he began to look at all the Mishnayists again to see whether he was right or not. And when on the Mishnah and Demai that says, Halokeach yayin latoch, lasei satoch hamurias, fires wine, right? And his intention is to put it latoch hamurias, okay? Meaning, ultimately, he's going to mix it into some other food. Yayin itself is subject to Demai, right? So he buys, he acquires wine. His goal is to put it in Taroves, Oletoch Ha'aluntis, right? Some other concoction, or Karshinin, right? Emtchinan, Adashim, Lasas Mehen Resisin. In all these cases, Chayiv Mishum Demai. All these cases, he's obligated, even though his intention is that he's going to put the Yayin and he's going to put the Adashim, the Karshinin into a Taroves. Since he buys them as is, he's obligated to. And of course, if he knew it was real Tevel, then certainly he'd be mutarim. However, that the aluntis or the whatever, or the murias, right, or the resisin, Don't ask me what all these things are. It's easy to find out, but it doesn't really matter for the moment. They're all tarovas of tamai. These themselves are permissible. There's no Isra of tarovas tamai. Okay? So, Kadosh Baruch Hu, maybe Takal al Yado, served as a catalyst for him to rethink, to re-examine his assumptions. It's an amazing thing. That's how seriously they took. So then the Gemara challenges a little more. We're going to get back to this. The Gemara says, V'lo gozru al tarovas tamai? The Gemara says, what? Pressure. There's no gzera that dmai reksha even in a state of tarovas. Tanya, didn't we learn the following brisa? Isa lefos ukedera levashel. Person gives his neighbor. Okay, Talmidei Chachamim, you know, had neighbors who were Amei Aretz. But not, so that's Chaver is the phrase that we use for not have a chash that he was an Amei Aretz and wasn't Tamai. Chaver is somebody who was careful. But nonetheless, he has a neighbor. He gives the neighbor Isa Lefos, Dok bread, or Kedera Levashel, right? And he's allowed to do that. He gives the neighbor the ingredients. So it says, Ishla Sa'or, the Tavlin Sheba. You don't have to worry that this or the tavlin, the spices, you know, are from the, are problematic. Lo mishum shias, lo mishum meiser. You don't have to worry about it from a shmita point of view, and you certainly don't have to worry about it from a trumas meiser, from a d'mai point of view. However, im amar la asi li mishalechi, if he said, instead of giving her the isa, or giving her the kedera, he said to the neighbor, listen, go to the store, acquire, or go to your farm, or go to your backyard, and you'll acquire the raw ingredients and make it for me, as opposed to the first case where the Talmid Chacham provides the actual materials. Then, Choshesh L'Sa'ar, the Tavlin, Sheba, Mishum, Shviyasu, Mishum, Meiser. So what do we see? That all things being equal, even though he's going to get a taroves, demai back, right? There, if there's a chashash, asi lechlufe, that the person will use their own ingredients, not keep the ingredients that they were given, if there is such a chashash, right, then it extends to taroves. Shiny. Even the Kamar Simli Shalichi Keman the Arav Biadayim Dami. The Gemara gives two answers. Number one, the Gemara says, no. This would be comparable to the case that we had in the previous Mishnah, where he relates to the objects before their taroves. Because if he says, take this and do that, then it's as if he himself handed over the ingredients to the other person. And therefore, it's Keman the Arav Biadayim Dami. Therefore, he comes to it before. That's the first hand. Rafra Mamar, Shiny Sa'or, comes to Sa'or, leaven, right, yeast. And Tavlin, which is spices, that's different. Dilataime Lobato. These are made to leave an impression of Tam, and Tam is not Bato. Meaning, the din that dmai doesn't apply has an exception. That is, that if something is osu, then in that case, we don't treat it differently than the be'en. If there's dmai in the be'en, there's dmai on the tam of that be'en as well. Okay. to these halachos a little bit later on. But either way, this is the Gemara. So the second, so we have two cases of takala so far. One case is the takala of shchitas kuti nevela, if you didn't know that psak. And the second case is what would have been the halacha if taroves demai, right? Then that too would have been subject to the din. In fact, that proves, that's the proof that taroves demai, all things being equal, is exempt from demai, with the exception of dvarim shavidi letaima, which we'll talk about. Okay, that's the second case. Third case comes up here on Vav Amud Beis. If you could turn to that for a minute, let's just turn the page. Where the Gemara says, Gemara records the following. Law of it's actually what I accidentally started with before. Vav Amud Beis, to the middle of the page, you'll see a dot. It says, Heid Rabbi Yeshua ben Zarus. Everybody have that? It says, Rabbi Yeshua ben Zarus ben Chamiv shel Rabbi Meir, Lifnei Rebbe, Meir, they all reported, this one reported from that one, reported from that one. It's like, you know, halachic telephone. So, but presumably accurately, that Rabbi Meir, Allah shel Yerek, Viveshan. Okay, this is the news bulletin, you know, from the, you know, from the Gazette of whatever the Jewish community was. Meir was seen, you know, eating a yarek, eating a vegetable from Beit Shan. Big news. Okay, what's the significance of that? It seems like, it seemed that he wasn't mafresh. Now, as he went over, he plucked a vegetable in Beit Shan, and he ate any without any hafrasha. So what does that mean? So the Gemara says, the hitir Rebbe es Beit Shan kula al yado. When he heard this story, presumably checked it out, but he Rebbe was matir Beit Shan, you know, completely based on this, right? Al yado. So the Gemara says, I mean, because he assumed, they, let me explain what the issue is, assumed that that the psak was based on the premise that Beit Shan versus Yisrael, or at least at this point in history, legabe chiyuv trumos umaisros. And therefore, there's no problem of tevel, because it's over the boundary. We'll see a little bit later on, the boundaries of Ezra, not the boundaries of Yehoshua. But the boundaries of Ezra are the ones that count. When the first base of the Mikdash was destroyed, so most of the opinions are Kedusha Rishona, the Kedusha of Yehoshua, was Kitchel Shaita of a low Kitchel Yasid Lavo. I mean, it didn't last beyond the Korban. And consequently, the boundaries that matter are the boundaries after Ezra. Ezra resettled the land, and that was obviously, you know, what was Kovei Trumos Umaisros going forward. And the question is, Beit Shan part of that resettlement or not? Okay. So then the Gemara says, Chibro Olav Echav Ubeis Aviv. You can really see this happening. You know, they sent out this psak. The facts all ganged up on him. And they said, Amrlo, Mokom Shavu Isu Ata Tinig Boheter. Meaning our family Minag, our family Misra, has always been that we treat Beit Shan like Eretz Yisrael in Trumas Amai. We've always been a machmir to be mafresh from Beit Shan. So how could you all of a sudden, you heard, ate a yerek in Beit Shan And all of a sudden, based on that, you're assuming that there's no chiyuv truma samaisus anymore. So he wrote, he answered him, Dala darash lehu mikra. I'm not going to go into the whole drash, but Vikitas nachasham nechosha, sashur asa moshe, ki adayam in mahema, ha yubnei yisro mekatrim lo, miracle in chuyuv, v'lobiro, bo yoshafad v'lobiro, v'lai kol avod azar shebaolam, asav yoshafad biaru. Ella, this is the famous Gemara, a lot to talk about, we're not going to get a chance on this, but hinichu laavos lo avosav his gaderbol afani makom hinichu liaderbol. This is one of the most important Gemaras in Shas. That the idea of chiddush, the idea that again for a legitimate Talmud Chacham who is trained and who whose responsibility and whose authority and whose authenticity, has been established, that he is one of the members of Chachmei Masora. He feels very strongly about something. He has a right, he has a right to his opinion. Whether you paskin like him is a different story than our rules. But at the end of that, that's the famous principle that he's adducing here of makom hinichuli lehisgaderbo, meaning Masora is critical. Most of the time that's what's koveya. And for an authentic Talmud Chacham, there's another part of this dialectic, and that is side by side with Masora and Hemshech is the idea of Chiddush, right? Again, we just came from Chag HaShavuos, right? Which is characterized in the Torah, both in Parshas Emor and in Parshas Pinchas, as the day of Mincha Chadasha, right? The Kli Yakar in Emor is a very, very beautiful piece where he says that, where is a Torah, in the Torah itself? We discussed it briefly the other day, right? Where is it? It's, Remez and Mincha Chadasha. Mincha Chadasha means Torah. So every day should be a day in which you look at the opportunity of Torah as being, unique and fresh and being dynamic. You should look at it as Chadasha, but also, he says, because authentic Balei Masora have the ability of Koach HaChidush. That's part of what continues and is Kechadasha, because of Chiddush. So this is what he answered him, that his Gaderbo. With all due respect, he was saying, I think this Chiddush makes a lot of sense. So the Gemara says, Mikan the Talmud Chacham, She'amar Dav Dvar Halacha, She'in Mazzo, V'amrilein Maznichin Oso, V'amrilein Mazchichin Oso. I'm not going to go into all that now, meaning, if some authentic, just because people are shocked or surprised at what he says, they should give him the benefit of, they should assume that his integrity and that his authority and so on are based. Again, whether they follow is a different thing. We're not talking about somebody who's a, Chacham Shelo Higia Lahora, what the Gemara Chagiga calls Shualim Kramim, Shualim Ktanim, rather, Mechablei Kramim, very destructive. We're talking about somebody who has stature and who has a track record. One should be respectful of his Chiddush. Okay. So then, then the Gemara says, just skip a couple lines, Maskefla Yehuda Bered Rab Shim Ben Pazi, Umi Ikalaman Damar de Beit Shan Lav Meretz Yisrael Hi. Oksiv Lahorish Menashe at Beit Shan Vespinosel Vestanok Vespinosel. Right? Meaning it was part of the boundaries of Eretz Yisrael. Part and parcel of Kedusha Sa'aretz. Says the Gemara, also famous lines in the Gemara. Bamite Hod Amrav Shimon Ben Eliyakim Mishum Rav Elazar Ben Pedas Amar Meshum Rabbi Elazar ben Shemua, Harbe Krochim Kivshu Ole Mitzrayim, Velo Kivshim Ole Babel, that this is true, that Beit Shan was part of the boundaries, was part of the Kedushas Haaretz, was true in the time of Yehoshua, but the time of Ezra, there were Harbe Krochim that Kivshim Ole Mitzrayim, that Ole Mitzrayim conquered in the time of Yehoshua, Velo Kivshim Ole Babel. The Kasavar, and they hold that Kedusha Rishonu Kitchel Shaita, as I mentioned before, the low Kitchel Yasid Lavo, the Kedusha based on the Kibush of Yehoshua was terminated after the Churban. V'hinichum Kedesh Yismuch Aleim Aniyim B'Shvias. And not only that, but they intentionally, at the time when they resettled in Ezra, they intentionally did not invest certain areas with Kedusha Sa'aretz, because they were worried about the poor, and they were worried particularly that they wouldn't be able to work during the Shemitah year. So Kadeshi Yismuchu Aniyim B'Shvias, they left out, they intentionally did not invest by resettling certain areas with Kedusha Sa'aretz, so there would be no Chiyuv Shemitah on that land. And as such, there's no Tevel, and no, therefore, Chiyuv Trumos, Maisros, and certainly no Dmai either. Then the Gemara says, Omale Rabbi Yirmiyahu l'Rab Zeira, Mahara Meir Ola B'Alma Hudachal. Maybe the answer is much easier than all this. Maybe the reason that he ate it without being mafresh is because it was Ba'akroi, not Bekeva. You're allowed Ba'akroi. Hazard, if you're not having all this substantial to Tevel, maybe they just took a felt Yisrael. From here, they surmised and they reinvestigated and came to all these conclusions. So the Gemara says, Amarle me'aguda achle. They saw that he didn't need to snap off, you know, one yarek. He took a bundle that qualifies as a kevda. It's not yarek, hanegad mishiyegad. So then the Gemara says, well, the dimalavada missed. Made a mistake. He wasn't paying attention. Right? Maybe either he thought part of Kedushas Haaretz, or he just wasn't focusing at the time. Is it struck so many conclusions based on the story? Maybe he just wasn't concentrating. So here's the third time. The Gemara says, Hashda behemtan shel tzadikim in a Kodesh Baruch Hu maybe takal al yadan tzadikim atzman lo kol shekein. Okay, so this is the third time in our Gemara where we have this idea. The Gemara says that you can't just say that, you know, he wasn't paying attention and accidentally he ate Tevel, because he would have been protected. You know, Siyata Dishmaya or Shkocha Pratis would have intervened, right, to obviate that circumstance. So we have three examples. We have the Achila of Shkitas Kuti, right? That's an interesting, that's Drabanan or Daraisa. We're not sure whether that reflects an objective halachic reality or that's the Chum. The second case is Taroves of Demai. Now, Taroves of Demai, you know, even in the end, we're saying Elohis or Taroves Demai. But let's put it this way. The Gemara applies the principle, because if there were, then this would apply. That is very mechudash, to say that not only d'may, but tarovas d'may, is the kind of takla which the Rebbeinu intervene and save you from. That's a big chiddush. What about this third chiddush, the one Yerek, right, in Beit Shan. So the truth is that Yerakos, Maitzu Yerek, so that Moses is a Dindrabanan. There's a debate, if you see the mast of Tosas, you have to worry, we're not going to read, certainly they're not going to, you know, in this particular, you know, round in Chulin. Asal Hitir Rebius Beit Shan Kul Al Yado, the massive Tosis on the bottom of Vavamud Beis, which goes all the way, you know, two-thirds of the way down to Zion Omid Aleph. So in that Tosis, there's a big discussion about the status of this Yarek. Everybody agrees it's Drabanan because Maisa Yarek is Drabanan. But Rabbeinu Tam came to the conclusion that Yarek actually is Tmai. It's not Tevel. Tevel, it's a Yarek of Suffolk Tevel, of Dmai. So that would fit in well with the Gemara that we saw before. Okay, then finally, what is the story of Pinchas? What's the original, the source story of the Chamor of Pinchas Ben Yair? So here's the Gemara on the bottom of Zayin Amud Aleph. We're going to skip to that for a minute. The Gemara tells the story, I'll just read it very quickly. My behemten shel tzadikin. What is this whole business that we keep quoting about behemten shel tzadikin? So the Gemara says, ka'ozel pidyon shvuyim. Fascinating. Pinchas ben Yair was on his way to do a mitzvah, the mitzvah of pidyon shvuyim. Pagabe beginoi nahara. He was obstructed by this, the river Ginoi, it's the name of the river. Amalei Ginoi, chalokli meimech ve'everbach. He turned to the river and he said, listen, I'm in a hurry. I'm doing an important mitzvah pidyon shvuyim. I need you a little bit of kriyas yamsuf, you know. Amalei ato holeich lasos ritzon chodcha, ritzon koncha, ani holeich lasos ritzon koni. So the river said to him, listen, you're doing the Rabbeinu Shalom's will, but I'm also doing his will. And my job is to be a flowing river, not to disrupt, you know, the waters. Ata safek osa, safek yata osa. Moreover, your task, you know, is mutal b'safek. You know, it's not clear that you're going to succeed in your pidyon shvuyim. Ani vaday osa. But if I keep doing what I'm doing, I'm certainly in the Rabbeinu Shalom's good graces. Amaleim iyata chole gozrani alecha shalo yavru b'chamayim liola. So he got a little upset with him. He said, listen, I don't have time to negotiate. You know, I'll take your tafkid, your function away from you completely unless you assist me. Cholak like. Then the Gemara says, havu gavra, havu dori. Chita lepischa, umbale, so somebody wrong for the ride, you know, and he was, you know, he tried to, you know, join with him. Umbale, chole kleina milahai, the mitzvah asik, he's also doing a mitzvah, chole kle. Then there was a third one, havahi taya, the love of Bahadayu. Umbale, chole kleina milahai, the lole makach osim of Nei Levaya. They shouldn't say, oh, we're, you know, we only help our friends. So let him go across as well. Chalakla. And the Gemara says, Am Rav Yossi, Kamenafish Gavra, right? Mimosha Vishisan Rivvan, Ilhasam Chadzimna, Vachatlasazimna. Says, look, you know, Moshe Rabbeinu only got him to do it with all the people that he crossed. You know, he only got him to Kriyas Yamsuf to do once. And here was three times. Anyways, the upshot of the story is they all went across the river. He went to do the mitzvah pidyon shvuyim, and on the way he stopped off, as they all did, you know, at the inn. So ikalahu shviza. So at the inn, Ramule Saari Lachamre. This wasn't Taroves Chametz to him. I'm sorry, Taroves Dmai to him. This was Saorim, right? Meaning Dmai, because you don't know what it is, to his animal. Oh. So Ramile Saari Lechamre. Now, of course, the animal has no obligation per se, but we'll get that in a minute. So the Gemara says, Lo Ochal. The animal, the Chamor of Pinchas Ben Yair, refused to eat the Saorim that was given by the innkeeper. So then the Gemara says, Chavtinu, right? The, you know, they put it through the filter once more. They thought maybe, you know, he had this animal had champagne tastes, you know, so they filtered it through once more. Nakrinu, kamtinu la'achal, nakrinu la'achal. The Gemara said, Amar lehu dilma lo masrin. And finally they said, you know what, maybe the animal's not eating because it wasn't hufresh, terms of maestras. So the Gemara says, asrinu, they were mafresh, va'achal, and then he ate it. Okay. Yeah. So this is the story of the chamor of Pinchas ben Yair. So we have four cases in the Gemara of Eina Kadosh Baruch Hu Mevitakal Al Yada. We have the Gzeira, right? Mikanul Haba, that you can't eat from the Shechit of a Kuti, right? We have, if it were to be true that there was a Gzeira of Tarovas Dmai, Tarovas Dmai, we have either Tevel or Dmai, that's Yerek Bebeitshan. And then finally, we have Tevel for the Behema. Now, it isn't really the Behema. The point is that you're not allowed to feed your animal Tevel either. So it's really obviously the Takala of Pinchas Ben Yair as expressed, though, through his animal. And the animal, I guess, had this sensitivity, whatever that means, that part. We're certainly not going to try to explain. But there's an important element here, which I do want to get back to. So these are the four cases. So the Bali Tosas, in light of this, it's just very interesting. Now look back on Hayom and Beis for a minute, or on the sheets, either one. I produced it again, the Tosas here as well. If you look on Hayom and Beis, the bottom Tosas, so you have an interesting argument between the Ramban, the Mitzin Tosas and the Ramban. This goes to the question I asked before. I mean, these are four cases spread over, you know, a blot and a half. They're all very fascinating. You see how seriously they took it. But we know in life, and we know throughout Shas, that there were plenty of tzaddikim, zakoim, talmidei chachamim, who were chotei. And they didn't get the siyata d'shmaya, you know, of Eina Kadosh Baruch Hu Mevi Takal Al Yada. So when do we apply it and when don't we apply it? So Tosas says here, that's what Tosas asks, on the bottom of Hamad Beis, very important question. Tema, Ashkan Yehuda ben Tabai, Shaharag, in Zomim, the Parakama de Makos. The beginning of Makos is a story about how Yehuda ben Tabai, the way the case was handled, so an Eid Zomim was killed, which he shouldn't have been, in other words. Rabbi Shmuel, Shakar Vahita, the Parakam of the Shabbos, there's a debate about the proper way to say Kriya Shema, and then the Gemara tells a story that Rabbi Shmuel didn't know, so he made a mistake. Bikitsur, there are plenty of cases in Shas where great Talmidei Chachamim, Tzadikim, great religious personalities were nichshal. They suffered a takala. Why weren't they protected? So Tosus' klal is as follows. V'omri, the davka b'midi de'achila en HaKadosh Baruch Hu mevi takala al yada. Shegnai hu l'tzadik, she'ochel dvar iser. Very interesting. It's not a din in general that the Ribbono Shel Olam protects tzaddikim from takala. It's a specific din when it comes to isuri achila, the gnai of isuri achila. Again, you know, you wonder sometimes, you know, why it is that kashrus, you know, has the kind of force, you know, that it has, almost like a taboo. You know, halavai that it would be more that way. But even with people, I'm not talking about our generation where people are so acculturated and just don't, their level of knowledge and commitment. I mean, outside of obviously the observant community, but even people who, observant people, you know, who are lax in many things, often are not lax, or at least true in previous generations, when it comes to kashrus. There's a certain, and it used to be people who were, you know, not from at all, but kashrus, there's a certain stature. What you put in your, in, you know, again, I guess there's a sense in a way that achila, you know, is itself a davar shebekedusha. It's maybe the most, you know, necessary biological, physical requirement of life. There are others, obviously, but in terms of being, you know, the most elemental and indispensable. And the sense that that, you know, needs to be treated as a davar shebekedusha, something that kind of Kal Yisrael understood, and in a way the Rabbanu Shalom understands it even, of course, better. So the din of protection from takala has a special stature, according to Tosis, when it comes to achila. But what's fascinating then is, what do we mean by achila? So Tosis goes on to say, well, as far as the Garsi Perakamadik Suvis, Kabehelu Eved Lekuhunal Piv, there talks about a certain case where a Talmud Chacham was responsible accidentally to them raising an Eved to the Kahuna. And the Gemara there says, Hashtab Hemthin Shal Tzadikim. Tosis wants to know, that isn't the case of Achila. Mishum the Asiladei Achila Sisa Shemachu Bas Yisrael Shenisas Lo Betruma. Right, v'hu Eved v'ein lo ba kiddushin. If you thought that somebody who really is an Eved was really a Kohen, says Tosis, there is a achila consequence, because his wife, the Ashes Kohen, an Ashes Kohen eats truma, but if she's not really an Ashes Kohen, then she's eating macholos asuros. You bros far seen along, because that's a little removed. This is also fascinating. Tosa says, in their opinion, the real din of takala and ashgacha here is for the tzaddik himself, his achila, not that he's machil or responsible for others. We'll see the Ramban says the opposite. His personal standards, and especially as relating to achila. So you have two cases which of seeming, one when somebody ate something on a fast day, and the other when they ate before making Havdalah. Why isn't that in a Kaddish Baruch Hu, maybe takala al yada? So this is interesting. Tosa says, afagav de misasa biaskara, even though we're very serious about not eating before Havdalah, and certainly not eating on a fast day, still hasam achilas heterhu, elish ocha b'shahu asura. There's a difference between eating chefza shal macholas asuros and eating when there's an Isar Gavra because of the timing. You're not allowed to eat on a fast day, but the food isn't Macholos Asuros. You're not allowed to eat before Havdalah. So this is actually a very interesting question. So this is what Tosis says. I'm going to get back to these in just a minute. El Shochel B'Shah HaSura. Then he says, Ubrashis Rabba Garcina Gabra Birmia. Shalwa kalkola de peri, l'dein is achal peri b'tiv. Question is, how can that happen? What about takala? And maybe takala. Miyahuv the isa sechet shkalim the kamar lorb zayrim rishonu kamalacha anu kiben kibarinish im rishonu kibneinish anu kachamorim velo kachamoro drab pinchas ben yar. So the Gemara says in Achanami, in Tevel, you do have this halacha. So I want to say something for a minute about a tzom and prior to Havdalah. And then I want to get back to the cases of our Gemara in light of this. So the idea that prior to Havdalah is just a timing issue. That certainly seems to be a davar pashut. And it probably doesn't even depend on the famous discussion of the Achronim, also in the Kiddushi HaGriz, Al Rambam is an example. Are you not allowed to eat or before Havdalah because there's Midrabanan, an Isra Vachila or Shtia, Kodom Havdalah? Or are you not allowed to eat before Havdalah or drink before Havdalah, something serious, I mean, because there's a Chiv to make Havdalah? Right? So the point is, if Havdalah is the reason, the Chiv to make Havdalah is the reason that there's an Isra Achila or Shtia, then there's nothing to talk about. This is Achilas Agavra. It's basically a Chovas Havdalah. Otherwise, it's a Midrabanan, it's an Isra Gavra. There's an interesting discussion about Yom Kippur, which is the only Tzom Daraisa. So an interesting parallel discussion, just to think about it, but I'm not going to go into details. I'll just tell you what it is. There's a famous major debate between the Rishonim regarding whether you make a bracha on Macholas Asuras. Let's say you eat a tevel or chazir or any other Macholas Asuras. Do you make a bracha Rishona? Do you make a bracha Achrona? So the Mishnah says in the seventh parak of Brachos, at minimum the Mishnah says that there's no zimun. There's no tziruf lezimun. The Ravid in Hilchos Brachos understood that's all the Mishnah meant. The Ravid says, if you eat Macholas Asuros, of course you should make a bracha. Why should you compound, you know, one Avera with another Avera? Just because you're eating Macholas Asuros, you should also steal from there and trespass from the Rabboni Sholom, right? Kol Ochel, you know, B'olam Hazeh, B'lo Bracha, Hariza Moal, Hariza Gazlan. So the Ravid says, the only thing is there's no Zimun. The reason there's no Zimun is because there's no Tziruf. You can't have a group or a Chabura, you know, Kesher Rishoy made him in a minion kind of a thing. You can't have a group, you know, when you're involved in Iser. That makes everybody an individual. That's an important principle. There's no Tziruf. However, according to the Rambam, there's no Bracha Rishona and there's no Bracha Achrona. You could be Mechalik. There are some more Mechalik between Bracha Rishona and Achrona. I just want to mention it very quickly, so I'm not going to go into the details. But the Rambam holds that Macholas Asuros is no Bracha Rishona, no Bracha Achrona. Within that, there's a debate among the other Rishonim, and certainly the Achronim, whether there's a difference between Macholas Asuros Doraisa or Drabana. Doesn't make a difference. And is there a difference between Ochal B'Shogeg and Ochal B'Mezid? What about Pikuach Nefesh even? Let's say you have to eat on a fast day. Or let's say you have to eat Nevela for Pikuach Nefesh. Right? It's not Shogeg. It's not Mezid. So these are the parameters of the Iser Bracha are discussed. But one of the discussions that you have in the Rishonim and the Seven Perek of Brachos, the Ra'ah and the Ritva in particular, is what about Yom Kippur? What is the status of, again, whether it's Shogeg or Pikuach Nefesh or Be'isr, what is the relationship between Achilas, Tevel, and Chazir and Achilas Yom Kippur? Achilas Yom Kippur is a bigger violation. But it's hard to think that it's an Isra Cheftza, right? Not that all of a sudden on Yom Kippur the entire, you know, food population into that doesn't seem to be the case. Parallels and more. What is so important is our din who. Shchitas Kuti, that's not so difficult. Possibly the regular Tevel, Yerek Bebeit Shan. But if Yerek Bebeit Shan is Dmai, and either way the Gemara applies it to Tarova's Dmai, and then later when it comes to the Behemtan Shal Tzadikim, the source, the origin story, that certainly seems to be Dmai. So does Dmai qualify as a takal an iser chefsa, or is it only an iser achilas agavra? This is one of the things that we're going to discuss in weeks, in probably in weeks, next week, hopefully. I'll tell you why I say it. Number one, the takana of demai was made on the basis of a miut, a suffik and a miut. The Gemara we read in Sota on Memches says that Rabbi Yochanan Kohen Gadol did a survey and he found out that a lot of people weren't being mafrish, miktsasan, miktsasan, etc. But the Gemara elsewhere, especially Rava, it's out that Rov Ame Aretz from Asun. Look, for example, very quickly at the Gemara, on, this is on page 3, Gemara in Shabbos Chav Gimel Amud Aleph. It talks about the bracha that you make on Neros Chanukah. It's on page 3. I don't know the line number, but you'll see it. Shabbos Aleph. Gemara says, what bracha do you make on Neros Chanukah? My Mavarech. Gemara says, Mavarech Asher Kedshonon Tzosev Tzivanu Ahadlik Ner Shol Chanukah. Says the Gemara, Heichan Tzivanu. Where is it Tzivu? It's only Dindra Abanan. Rav Avya Amar Melo Sasur. Famous Gemara. Rav Nechemiah said, Shalav Yichav Yagedcha Zkenecha V'yomrulach Mesora. Masur Rav Amram. Hadmai, but when it comes to Dmai, Arvinbo, it's a Mishnah in first paragraph of Demai, which we'll see next week, Mitzvah Hashem. Demai, which is Safek, Chulin, Safek, Tevel, right? You're allowed to use it for an Eruv, for Shitufei Muvos, Mevarchin Alav, even a Bracha. Okay, whether that means Zimun or for the Ravid or actual Bracha Rishon Akhorna for the Rambam. Mezamnin Alav, even that, mafrishino saw Roma ben Ashmashos. You don't make a bracha when you're mafrish d'mai. The amris called Rabbanan boy bracha, hacha ki ka'arum heichem avarech. If the tzivanuf applies to Rabbanans because of losasur and so on, why shouldn't you make a bracha on d'mai? And if you do, how could you do it when you're not properly dressed? Says the Gemara. Says the Gemara, Amra Baya Vadai de Divrayim Boy Bracha. Safig de Divrayim Lo Boy Bracha. The difference is Ner Chanukah and Megillah and Halal, these are Vadai Drabanans. You could say Vitzivanu. But Dmai is only a Safig Hafrasha because it's very possible that they were Mafrish. That's a Baya. Rava Amar, I'm sorry. That's I. Then they asked Abai about Yontif Sheni. How can you make a bracha or make kiddush on Yontif Sheni? That's also only a safek. The safek divrayim hu, uboy bracha. So the Gemara, no, that's different. Kosam ki heichid delo lezal zulei be. There's a lot to say about that, but we're not going to get into it right now. Fine. But then Rava says, this is what I'm interested in. Rova mea aretz maasrenein. Actually, it's not just a safek, it's a miut. Demai is a miut. Even the Aretz, most of them, the majority, are mafresh. So if that's the case, it's interesting to wonder, is Demai the kind of Isra Achila about which there would be a Takala? After all, Rova Me'aretz Ma'asrin. It's only a suffix, and it's not even a suffix, it's a miyut. Let me take it a step further. The Mishnah says in Demai, do I have it here? I think I put it here. Perek Dal, the last Mar Makom on page 4. Perek Dal, Perek Gilman, Sani, Demai, V'esach, Sanya, Demai. The takana of demai does not apply to an ani or to somebody who is traveling and is in need, an achsanya. They're allowed to eat demai. A lot of the achronim used to cite the we'll see how the Gemara uses it, to prove that even though there's a chiyuv hafrashas d'mai, and you're not allowed to eat d'mai without that hafrasha, you need a matir, but it's hardly macholas asuras d'rabana. If it were, then you wouldn't allow a niyim to eat. A niyim can't eat chazer or yerek, you know, a tevel, which is only drabana. There's no heter that a niyim can eat isuri drabana. If you think that d'mai is only a miyut and it's a chovas afrasha and a chiyuv afrasha and an isur achilas agavra, then you could say, you know, we didn't apply it to a niyim. So it's fascinating that even though d'mai, and that's one of the things I want to look at, what is, if d'mai is not really machol sasuros, then applying enakadosh baruch hu mevita kol yadam to it is a very big chiddush. So there are two other, I say just a couple of minutes left, we'll stop in a minute. There are two other perspectives. One is like, an amplification of Tosis, and the other is the Ramban. On when we apply this rule, because we certainly don't apply it throughout Chas. In a Kodesh Baruch Hu, maybe Takal. So the Netziv has a fascinating suggestion, but his suggestion just sharpens our, or my, difficulty with D'mai. He says the following. This is on page one. I think it's one. No, probably already page two, Zev? Merome Sada?
Line four
on page two. So he says the following. Amaridav, he's trying to explain Balitosis. Amaridav, why Dafka Mivida Achila? So I suggested that that's because there is a recognition that Achila, as the physical, the most physical, let's say, operation, the most human, material, indispensable operation that man, you know, must, for his survival, commit to, particularly needed to be elevated as a davar shebikdushin. In a way, that we're talking about achilas basar all year, and shechita coming from the world of kadshim. So in general, there's a taboo, there's an extra kpeda, even in the Torah itself, kashrus is called, you know, habehema tmeya, habehema tahora. What is tahor and tame? I think it's for the same idea. But the Netziv has a bit of a different suggestion. Although, again, I don't know why he wasn't troubled by d'mai. So what does he say? He says, v'nira atam mishum d'machol osr tamteim halev. I don't think he means physically, obviously. It's a physical, spiritual malady. What he's saying is, Macholos of the Ramban and other Rishonim speak, the Ramban al Torah in a bunch of places says this, that Macholos Suros is mitamte mesalev. It has negative spiritual impact. Kedisos of Paragimel de Yuma, Amitesim and Aleph. But then he has a fascinating application. It says, Vinira de Mizeatam, Sphirle Laravid, Huva Barosh Biyoma, to Michalin Shabbos. Right? Ola sheyesh bo pikuach nefesh, velola achilo nevelos atrefos, afogav de shab. This is the famous Ravid. The Ravid says that if you have a chola, a pikuach nefesh on Shabbos, and you have either, you can feed him nevela, non-kosher food, or you can do a shechita and give him kosher food. So it's better to do the shechita, according to the Ravid, than it is to give him the veil. Aye, the shechita is a malacha on Shabbos. It's a chisur, right? It's a chi of misa. Not for him, he's a bikuch nefesh. He's a bikuch nefesh either way. He's a bikuch nefesh for the love of nevela, and he's a bikuch nefesh, you know, and there's a heter for him for the malacha. But wouldn't you think that bikuch nefesh would require, right, the path of least resistance, the lav, not the misa? That's what the Ravid is trying to explain. The rush is troubled by it. And if you skip down 3-4 lines, probably line 6 or 7, that's what we mean. And then he says, Teda de Bemedrish Tanchuma, Parsha Smos, Mefarshin, Hadatan, Bavarazar, Chavav Madalef, Eskochav, Menika Ben, Shel Yisrael Bershusa, Hainushatochal, Macholos Ksheros, Haridafila Betinok Barhanaka, Choshu Chazal, Macholos Asuros, Shelo Yaziklo, Lahaba. So the Netziv is amplifying this idea that we find in the Ramban Wa Torah and another Makoros, that Macholos Asuros is spiritually toxic. And therefore, even in the context of Pikuach Nefesh, right, it's better than it is to eat the Nevela. That's the Raivitz Psak. And even if it's a katan, so, a yonek, so there's no maisavera, there's nothing. But still, you're putting spiritually toxic substances into a system. I mean, in general, there's a big discussion in the Rishonim whether macholos asuros are what we call iser gavra or iser cheftza. Meaning, is it like a shvua or a neder? There's some Rishonim who think that macholos asuros, the rice at least, are like a neder. Even the ones who think that it's like a shvua don't think it's only an Isar Gavra. They think there's an Isar Gavra to eat it, but it's a Chefta Shal Isar. But what does that mean? The Ramban, El HaTorah, and the Netziv here are projecting this idea of spiritual toxicity, a kind of a more objective, harmful damage, etc. The Heter Gavra isn't going to help you for that. But what bothers me is, apply this based on our Gemara to Demai and Tarova's Demai? Maybe the answer is yes. Maybe you have to rethink Demai. So that's one of the things I want to look at. But I want to leave you with one final idea. Maybe we'll read it a little more next. I just want to leave you with a few lines. Just to Ramban disagrees with Tosis. Let's look at the second entry on page 1. What's the line number for the Ramban? We can actually skip to the bottom of the first paragraph. The last two lines.
21.
Aval.
21. Aval be surim lo. 21.
Yeah, aval be surim lo. So earlier he quotes Rabbeinu Tam. As aval be surim lo. This is Rabbeinu Tam. And then the Ramban, with a little bit of a pun, says, the ein betam azeh, right? Lo tam velo reach, right? All the Rishonim had good senses of humor. To be in that business, believe me, you have to have a good sense of humor. A lot of slings and arrows, and have a lot of sleepless nights, and sense of achrayas. So they all had to have a good sense of humor. So he said, I don't like this tam, this reason. This reason is no taste. It's not no smell and no taste. Of course, he's talking about Rabbeinu Tam's view that takala is only applicable to food, right, and drink. So he says, "Ein b'tam zelo tam v'lo reach." He says, "V'od amrinan the azarayas." What is he fascinating? Rabbeinu Neru Pirish is quoting his Rabbeim that behemdan shol tzadikim ena kodesh be'vi takala la'acherim. Al Yadam. It's not the Talmud Chacham being protected by the Rabbonu Shalom for himself. He can't live with himself, right, if he is the cause of someone else's mikshol. I just think the Ramban is so much more edifying. Right? Who may be takala cherim al yadam? Kechamor shu pinchas panyar. Lohisa mitzvah b'tzuva b'kach. The chamor didn't have a mitzvah to avoid tevel. But if the chamor was going to eat tevel, aval lo lahach shel anosnin right? Lorotz Dalecho. Because he's not allowed to, he's not allowed to eat it. It's not him, but they're not allowed to feed him. So if he eats it, he's causing a takala. Rameir Nami, kivin shebifnei acherim achal, right? When he ate the yerek, and other people saw, you saw what it did. It got into the yated right away. Everybody was speculating, was it because of the boundaries? Was it because of the yerek? Was it because of the, right? There was a maiserav, and they were trying to figure it out. So kivin shebifnei acherim achal, ilo haya iser bedavar takol acherim hu. Look, he really did it. They acted on it. People were saying, yeah, you can go to this restaurant that serves Shkitas Kuti, because he did. Listen to this. As far as his personal hanhaga is concerned, everybody makes mistakes. The Rabbanu Shalom doesn't intervene to save you from every technical mistake. But what's intolerable, Ramban, to the Talmud Chacham is not that he should eat Macholos Asuros. Maybe that's intolerable to us, Klal Yisrael, actually, for Rabbeinu Tam. But it's intolerable to the Talmud Chacham, if you really want to do something for him, is that he should not be the source of other people becoming involved. Then he adds,
what's the isur la'acherim by the behema, by the chamor? What's the isur la'acherim?
The appears. You're not allowed to be machil tevel. Kilui tevel, bahana is asur.
But it's demai.
I'm sorry?
It's demai.
Okay. Demai is safek tevel.
So there's an Isra No on the Mai?
An Isra No, but on the side that it is, on the Sad Safek, that it is Tevel, we treat Demai like Tevel. Well, we'll see next week whether we treat it like Tevel across the board. Okay. I'll leave you with another thought. I want to speak a little bit more about the Ramban next time, but the Ramban is such a different perspective on Takala. Again, for Rabbeinu Tam, it's unacceptable for the Rabbeinu Shalom, for Klal Yisrael, the tzaddikim should eat macholos asuros. And for the Rebbe, the Ramban, it's unacceptable for him that they should be the source of a michshol for others. We'll see, he has a couple of other exceptions. So just want to tell you one other thing just before I go, since you asked me also. The Gemara says like this. I'm sorry, the Rishonim says the following. In the end of the day, like you just said, it's Demai, right? So it's Kamishmaya Galia. The Rebbeinu Shalom knows whether or not it's Tevel or it's Metukan. So how does this prove anything about Demai in either direction? So the Shidduch Kubetzis asks in one direction. Shidduch Kubetzis says, maybe typically when it comes to Demai, say Eda Kodesh Baruch Hu, maybe Takala Al Yado, but maybe in this case the Rabbanu Shalom knew that it was really Tevel. Okay? Rabbi Yosef Engel, in a very famous piece, in Asvan Daraisa, says the opposite. He says, how do you know that there was any takala here at all? Maybe, since it's only a miyut, maybe it really was, I'd say in the first case, where they say, Rab Asi, right, when he went to the inn and he had the Tarovas Demai, so Rab Zera said to him, like, how could you eat it? It's Tarovai. Right? And in a Kodesh Baruch Hu, maybe Takal Al Yado. So the Rabbi Yosef Engel says, in this particular case, it was Metukan. while they drove. So these are two opposite, parallel, opposite questions. But I think that the answer is, it goes back to what I spoke at the beginning, the din of takala doesn't depend on kami shmaya galia. It's the fascinating thing. It's the intervention of the Rabbona Shel Olam, literally, for whatever reason, Tosis for his reason, the Netziv for his reason, the Ramban's Rebbe for his reason. The Rabbona Shel Olam is intervening, but he's not intervening based on what the objective reality as he knows it is. He's intervening based on the halachic propriety according to the written, according to the halacha, should be. In the end of the day, we don't care about the metzius, whether this orim is metukan, I mean it's chulin, metukanim, it's tevel. We're only treating it as dai. And the same is true about the tarovis dai. The Rabbona Shalom's intimate knowledge, which you would think would be the most important factor when it comes to protecting Hakala and intervening through Hashgacha, seems to be irrelevant, when compared to human halachic proper decision-making. So as a passage in the Shita Mekubetzes kind of makes half of the Ha'ara. I'll read it to you next time. We'll speak a little more about the Ramban. And then I want to talk a little bit, maybe next week, about a little more about Dmai and the different perspectives on Dmai. Okay. All a good week. And we still have to figure out the end, date.
We haven't scheduled it yet, right? We haven't decided on the schedule.
Okay. Very good. Everybody should have a good and healthy week.